الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. وبعد، in our series on حقوق العباد، I want to remind myself anew about one of the most important of them and one of the most violated of them, which is the safety of our fellow human beings, Muslim and non-Muslim. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went to the extent of saying, he said, a person is not a Muslim, he is not a Muslim, he is not a Muslim. And they said, Ya Rasulullah, who is not a Muslim? He said, the one from whose tongue and whose hand another person is not safe. In one case he said, the one from whose tongue and whose hand another Muslim, his brother, is not safe. And in another case he said, from his tongue and his hand, his neighbor is not safe. So in general it means anybody else. Now one can understand from his hand meaning that physically you do not harm anybody, and this is part of Islam, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said the one who harms another person is not a Muslim. But more than that, because inshallah we don't physically harm anybody, but more than that is our tongue. The famous hadith where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, he asked the Sahaba, he said, who are the destitute, the poor, and in poor also the destitute, which is people who have absolutely nothing. Somebody who is poor may have something, but a destitute person is somebody who has absolutely nothing. He said, who are the destitute people in this, according to you? They said, Ya Rasulullah, according to us, a destitute person is somebody who has no money, no dirham, no dinar. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, on the day of judgment, the destitute person will be one. And he said, the destitute of this ummah will be one who comes to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu with good deeds the size of the mountain of Uhud. Good deeds the size of the mountain of Uhud. But at the same time, also before Allah will come those people who this person has wronged. All those who he harmed physically, you know, maybe he killed somebody or maybe he hit somebody or whatever. All those whose rights this person oppressed and took away. All those this person slandered. All those this person made ghibat about. And so on. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said there will be a long line of those people. And they will ask Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala for justice. And on the day of judgment, the coin is deeds. The coinage is deeds. There is no money. So this person's good deeds, which he has brought before Allah, will be given to those people. Until good deeds that he came with, the size of the mountain of Uhud, will be exhausted. But the line of people will still be there. Line of people will still be there. So those people will say, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will say to the people, and Allah knows the answers, he will say to the people, his good deeds are over, what shall I do? They will say, Allah, give our sins to that person. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, this will be done, and the person who came to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala with a mountain of good deeds will be thrown into the hellfire for the sins of others. He will carry on his back the sins of other people and he will go into the hellfire on that account. I always used to think when I read this hadith that how is it possible that somebody can commit so many sins, or somebody can have that many sins that a whole mountain worth of good deeds gets wasted. One can understand something happens, but after all our life is not so long, you know, in whatever 50, 60 years, 70, 80 years. How many sins can you commit? Even if you sinned all your life. Until one day it occurred to me that thanks to our technology, one email, one note on the internet slandering somebody has eternal life. That goes and it circulates and it circulates and it circulates and it goes all over the world, and thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people have got this news which you set out, which is slander, which is false. And we'll come to how it is bad even if it is not, even if it is not false. And long after you are dead and gone, that email of yours is earning for you the fire of Jahannam, until that email remains. And in today's world, the only thing eternal is email. The only thing eternal is on the internet. That never goes away. It's there continuously. And then I realized that this is actually possible, that you can wipe out your entire life's deeds by one single email. Now, the issue of what you sent out, whether this is correct or incorrect, and of course we all know all the answers. What is ghibat? Ghibat is to say something negative about a person which is correct. Which is correct. Something negative about somebody which is correct, but to say it in that person's absence to somebody else. This is ghibat. The Sahaba asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then when the ayat of Surah Al-Hujarat came with regard to ghibat, and Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala said, do you want to eat the meat of your dead brother? فَكَرِهْتُمُوْ. This, you find this example disgusting. And he says, ghibat is worse than that. Two women were brought to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They said they are complaining of terrible stomachache, and they are giving them all kinds of medicines. Nothing is happening. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, bring a bowl, make them vomit. They vomited, and they actually vomited out lumps of flesh, raw flesh. They said, what is this? What have you been eating? They said, they have been eating, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, they have been eating the flesh of their own sisters. Now, this is one of the mu'jizat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, where Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala actually converted it into a material form. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was going with some sahaba with him in the marketplace, and he overheard somebody talking about someone else, and at that time they passed a garbage dump on which there was a dead goat which had been lying there for some time, so it was stinking. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam called them and he said, do you want to eat that thing? They said, Ya Rasulullah, what kind of thing is that? Of course, we don't want to eat it. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, what you are doing is worse than that. So they asked Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they said, Ya Rasulullah, we said something negative about somebody, but that is true. That is a fact. That person is like that. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that is why it is called ghibat. Ghibat is to say something which is correct, but to say it in the absence of that person, to laugh at that person behind his back, to malign that person to behind his back, saying something negative which, if it was said to the person directly, he would have found it unpleasant. This is ghibat. What is worse than that is what we know in Urdu as buhtan, which is slander, which is actually invent things about people. Say something which is false, that is not true at all. May Allah forgive us, for many of us, our entire social life consists of only this, ghibat and slander. And it does not have to be anything big. One day Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, she said, she made a remark about one of the other mothers of the believers. I think it was about Sayyidah Sauda radiallahu anha, who was a bit heavy. And all that Sayyidah Aisha said, she said that she is a bit heavy. That's it. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if these words of yours, Aisha, if these words of yours were taken and thrown into the oceans, they would have made the entire ocean bitter. So ghibat doesn't have to be anything big. While in talking, we have so many of these phrases that we use, which we think are very funny, which refer to somebody's impairment, which refer to somebody's, see the thing of this. We have one one wo langda, wo kanda, wo bhaira, bolte nahi bolte. If somebody cannot hear properly, ye to Allah ki taraf se, it's something that happened to him over the years. To uski galti hai. Is that a crime the person has committed? But you refer to that in a very horrible manner. Somebody has a limp, langda, tumhari tang langdi hui to malum tha. And you think Allah cannot do this for you? He cannot break your leg and, make you walk with a limp for the rest of your life? Seriously, we have to ask ourselves these questions. Our whole language and our whole conversation is this. Saying negative things about people. The key thing is, if you are really so interested, then go and tell that person directly and try to correct him and make dua for him. And if he does not accept your correction, keep quiet. That's enough. You have done your job. Your job is over. Malik bin Marwan, the Khalifa, he came for Salatul Eid. And the Khalifa used to be the Imam. So he came for Salatul Eid. And as you know, in Salatul Eid, the khutbah, which is the Arabic khutbah, of course here we have two, so we have to differentiate and say Arabic khutbah. What we have before the Salatul Eid in whichever other language is not a khutbah, it's a lecture. There is no obligation to attend that. But the Arabic khutbah in Salatul Eid is after the Salah, unlike Jummah. Jummah, it is before the Salah, here is after Salah. So Malik bin Marwan came and he went on the minbar and he started giving the khutbah before Salah. So Abu Sayyid al-Khudri radiallahu anhu was also there in that majma. One man stood up, some ordinary man. He stood up and he said to the Khalifa, he said, this is not from the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What you are doing is not from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The khutbah is supposed to be after the Salah. Malik bin Marwan said, that sunnah is not valid anymore, sit down. Because the problem with people of that kind was that they were afraid that once the salah is over, people will leave. They won't sit and listen to the khutbah. So he decided to change the order and give the khutbah before, because now without the salah you cannot go, so you are forced to listen. So he changed the order. Abu Sayyid al-Khudri radiallahu anhu said, the man has done his duty. He has said what he has to say, that is khalas, enough. He doesn't have to do anything more. So even if you think somebody is doing something wrong, and Allah knows best, most of the time our own assessment of what is wrong, what is right itself is highly questionable. We jump to conclusions. We don't know the reality of things. Yeah? I recommended a particular book, which I think is an excellent book to read to understand current Western political theory, right? And somebody criticizes me in a very horrible manner and he says, how can you teach Islamic Aqidah and then how can you recommend this book? Now what to do with that? I said, oh, recommending a book to teach Western political theory, what does that have to do with Aqidah? So where do you want me to find Western political theory? In Bukhari Sharif? What? I mean, senseless people. But point is, now the man takes this and he goes all over the world and he tries to drum up support. Of course, alhamdulillah, we have got intelligent people, so people ignore him. But now the issue is, all that he has written is floating around on the internet. Yeah? It's all floating around on the internet with eternal life. Earning for me hasanat and earning for him sayyat. Alhamdulillah, I have no objection to that. If somebody wants to donate good deeds to me, I've got absolutely no problem. But let us not do this. This is one of the major issues with huquq-ul ibad, which we violate all the time. And that's why I want to remind myself and you, let us not fall into this trap. Let us stick with our own amal. Let us focus on ourselves. Let us not spend our time maligning other people and giving fatwas to other people and finding faults with other people, except for the person of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is nobody who is free from faults. There are faults with every single person in the world. Find me one person who is free of faults. So we have faults, big deal. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ghafur Rahim. I have faults, I will make dua, I will make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My Rabb did not say He will not forgive me. Who are you? Who are you? So if I make tawbah for my faults, inshallah my Rabb will forgive me. Who are you? Where did you come from? So stay out of this. Work on yourself. Let me work on myself. If we can get out from this life with our sins forgiven, that is the biggest achievement that we can ever have. Let the rest of the world deal with their lives and let them live with their lives, and Allah created them. They are between, what is there is between them and their Rabb. He did not give us the responsibility for that. So stay out of it. And don't ruin your own life and your own amal with doing ghiba, with backbiting people, because as it is, we have very little to take to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What sense does it make to lose even that? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to do that which is beneficial, enable us to do that which is helpful for us, and to stay away from all that is not beneficial for us. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعليه وصحبه اجمعين برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين.